The sixth Saliya of Parshas Vayetze contains the story of Rachel stealing the Trophim, a very mysterious action that even Yaakov didn't know about, and when he's confronted, he says that whoever did this should pay the price. And in fact, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests that that's actually the point of this whole story, to show how inconceivable it was to Yaakov to have any involvement with theft, and therefore this is a reflection on the previous Aliyah to show us that his strategy with Lavan and his wages must have been legitimate because he's so removed from even the thought of theft. But that indeed raises the question about the legitimacy of Rachel's actions here. How was she indeed entitled to steal the Trophim? And what in fact was her motivation? So first, it's a question what the Trophim are. They seem to be some type of idols, but it's possible they were also understood to have fortune-telling powers. So some understand that that was her motivation. The Rashbam and others write that this was a concern that she had, that this would be a way for Lavan to find out that Yaakov wanted to run away and he would be able to follow them. And if that's the case, so then perhaps her motivation was pikuach nefesh. She was trying to save everybody. And the sefer Maariv Yitzchak, he suggests that this is in fact a pattern that's being set here, her concern for her whole family and her desire to protect everyone. But there's another motive here as well, and Rashi writes that her motive was to separate him from the Avodah Zarah so that Lavan shouldn't be able to continue worshipping them. The Bereishis Rabbah suggests that she couldn't bear to leave her father alone with these idols and no motive to change, and therefore she wanted to help have him make a turnaround. He shouldn't be involved in idolatry anymore. And for many of the Rishonim, it sounds like she had possibly both motives. Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch has an interesting spin on this, that she was acting in a way similar to Avram, perhaps showing she was a worthy member of the family, that just as Avram made the display to his father that the idols must be powerless, she was doing a similar ploy here, that she was saying that how could you consider these idols to be powerful if they couldn't protect themselves from being taken? Clearly they can't protect you either. But in any event, the more likely understanding here that she was trying to protect her father from being involved in further idolatry doesn't seem to be enough of an explanation, because many deal with the question and many struggle with the question of what was her justification, what was her license to steal from her father. And it's an important discussion to be aware of. It's a very extensive discussion in this forum. And for those who think that we can be lenient with the property of others and the property of non-Jews, it's very instructive to note just how extensive a discussion it is in all of the Sfarim, trying to figure out what could Rachel's justification have been to take the property of her father, to steal from him. And indeed, there is a statement in the Zohar that in fact she was very harshly punished for this, in that because of this she wasn't able to raise Binyamin, a very harsh punishment because of something that clearly was considered wrong with what she did. But she clearly also felt that she was entitled to, so was there a license? This was an extensive discussion among the poskim. There were those who thought, such as the Shvos Yaakov, for example, that perhaps it was permissible to steal these idols because Avodah Zarah is prohibited b'hana. One's not able to get any benefit from Avodah Zarah, so therefore they don't have any value, so it wouldn't be considered stealing. So others object to this. For example, Rabbi Yashiv, in an essay that was printed in the Sefer Kamat HaLikhi, and others raise the objection that that's actually not the case here, because for a Jew, so the Avodah Zarah would be Asur Bahana, but it's not clear if that prohibition applies to non-Jews as well. That's a machlokes. The Das Torah of the Maharsham thought that indeed, yes, the prohibition applies to non-Jews as well, but others, such as the Menches Chinuch, maintain that even though the prohibition of idolatry applies to non-Jews, it's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, but that does not mean that they're prohibited to benefit from Avodah Zarah. It doesn't mean that there's an Isser Hana. There's a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Bar Avua told some prospective converts that before they convert, they should sell their idols. So apparently, it's permissible for them to benefit from the idols if they're allowed to sell them. So that was a machlokas if this prohibition applies to non-Jews. But as Rabbi Yoshua and others point out, that even if the prohibition did apply, it's redeemable because a non-Jew, as opposed to a non-Jew is able to be mevatel, the Avodah Zarah. He can cancel its status as Avodah Zarah. So then it would become permissible again. So the idea that this had no value, had no monetary worth, wasn't apparently true. And that doesn't seem to be enough of a justification. And that is one reason the Sfarim struggle with this. So another suggestion that some of the Sfarim put forward and try to consider if this could be a justification is maybe not necessarily that the Avodah Zarah was worthless, but her motive to save her father from sinning, is that something that can justify it? Is there any permission to steal something from someone in order to keep them from engaging in prohibited behavior? In particular, idolatry. So we seem to find that Avram himself had done that with Terach. So is that indeed the case that it's permissible? So there were some Achronim who thought yes, the Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak, and also the Tshuvas Avnei Nezer, who takes pains to point out that this is not under the assumption that one can steal from a non-Jew, but that here the purpose is to help him, that since he is engaged in behavior that he is prohibited to do and that is damaging for his soul, so perhaps there is a license to do that. However, others disagree. The Chemdes Yisrael was written by the author of the Kli Chemda, I believe was a student of the Avnei Nezer, writes that you see from the story that it's not permissible because of the idea of the Zohar that Rachel was punished for this. Some point to the fact that there is a Gemara in Maseches Brachos on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, which tells the story of Rava de Bar Ava, who saw a woman wearing a immodest garment, and he thought she was Jewish, and he tore it off of her, and then afterwards discovered that she wasn't Jewish and had to compensate her. So it sounds like, had she been Jewish indeed, and she was therefore responsible for the sin, that there was some monetary damage, because here he was compensating her. So apparently he wouldn't have had to compensate her had she indeed been Jewish, so maybe that's a proof that it's permissible to do that in order to prevent someone from sinning. So there's a long essay about this in the Sefer Dvar Torah by Reb Chaim Shlomo Abrahams, and he points out that that's not really a good proof from that Gemara, because there it's not that he damaged the item, it's that he just removed it from her. But the fact that he paid, it's not because he was paying for the damaged item, he paid because he caused her embarrassment. That's what emerges from that Gemara. So therefore, you cannot derive from that Gemara that one can steal someone else's property in order to stop them from stealing. There is a discussion in the Tshuvas Halachas Ketanos about whether one can steal a ganav's burglary tools, the devices that he uses to steal from other people. Nowadays, there's all kinds of technology that could do that. It makes the question even more relevant. So is it permissible to steal those items from a ganav? So he does allow that, but that may not necessarily be a proof either. Rav Yisachar Friend recently came out with a sefer in Hebrew of discussions on the Parsha B'Halacha, and he points out there that that is something that damages others. So you can't necessarily derive from there that we can steal something from somebody that they use for a sin that doesn't damage others. So we don't necessarily have a proof from any of these sources. And Rav Moshe Sternbuch, who has a tshuva in which he considers such issues as well, so he concludes that whether it's permissible or not may not necessarily be the point, that we see that this is dangerous territory to go down, and people who try things like that, it never works out well in the end. And you see that from that Gemara about Rav Ada Bar Ava ripping off this garment. And in fact, the Gemara goes on to suggest that he acted in a rash way and that he should have thought more carefully about his behavior, and that perhaps that was indicative of the whole action. And that here also we see that Yaakov didn't think this was something that was permissible and couldn't even conceive of it happening, and Rachel is punished for this. So all of this indicates that this is not something that works out well in the end, and is not something that really is an advisable path, separate and apart from the question of if it could be permissible. Rav Eliashiv, in his essay, he suggests maybe there's a whole different approach, that maybe she thought that because Lavan had cheated Yaakov, so that maybe she could take these items as payment for Yaakov, but that would have to hinge on the assumption that Yaakov himself had the din of a ben Noach, and that it wouldn't be prohibited for him to benefit from these idols. That's also a little bit of a tricky situation as a suggestion. So this is a difficult topic overall. And again, it's noteworthy that it seems like whether or not there was a basis for permission, that there is clearly something to be criticized here because of the statement of the Zohar that she paid such a price. So there are those who derive from that statement that apparently it wasn't permissible and that we should see this as gezel. But there are others who suggest that if you look more carefully at the language of the Zohar, that it doesn't actually say that she was punished because she stole. And it's not necessarily proof that what she did constituted a violation of gezel. And the language of the Zohar actually is that she was punished for causing tsar to her father, for causing anguish to her father. And that perhaps is a very important detail that conveys a tremendous message to us, that whether or not there was any justification for what she did, so that's its own discussion. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. But if she at the same time wasn't sensitive to the fact that she was causing her father pain, and if this was something that she was able to be okay with, so the onesh, the punishment, is perhaps correlated to that. And that could actually answer a few other questions, because first of all, we actually find that Chazal tell us regarding the previous aliyah that the Bracious Rabbah tells us that Rachel died early because she spoke in front of her sister, in front of her older sister. So there, this is essentially ascribing the same thing, her early death, to something else. And that poses a question of itself, that just the fact that she spoke in front of her older sister doesn't seem like such a terrible transgression. And Rav Schwab had a comment over there we mentioned in connection with that aliyah, that it's not necessarily that alone, but it's about what she was discussing and the fact that she was talking about her father in a disrespectful way, which could have been justifiable, could have been considered litoelas, but the fact that she at the same time was showing this attitude of casual disrespect, so that reflects the fact that that was inherent in the whole discussion. So even that which was justifiable was also tainted by this lack of proper concern for all of these surrounding details, and therefore the punishment attaches to that. And that could also answer a question that others have on the Zohar, because if indeed it's true that she deserves to be punished for this, so how come we don't say the same thing about Avram, that he was apparently guilty of the same type of behavior when he destroyed the idols of his father Terach, which is a part of what's brought into this whole discussion. So if we understand like this, that it's not only about that act of gezel or destruction, but it's about the insensitivity to the tsar that was being caused. So perhaps that wasn't necessarily the case with Avram, but we see perhaps these indications that maybe that was the case here. And therefore, this is part of why there is this intense criticism that is directed by the Zohar at Rachel and this terrible punishment that comes along with it. And it's a very powerful statement about the complexities involved in treatment of others, and especially treatment of a parent, and the recognition that the relationship to a parent can be often very complicated, but at the same time, it comes in the context of a relationship that involves a great debt of Hakaras HaTov, a mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, which reflects that foundation, even often mixed in with many other complicating factors. And that doesn't mean that there may not be a need to sometimes separate from the parent or sometimes take strong action in order to protect oneself. And there are many other details that come along with that. But at the same time, a recognition that it has to come from those motivations purely and not from a lack of appreciation for what a parent is and a lack of the Hakaras HaTov that is at the root of the mitzvah of Kibud Av Eim, and this is the week of Thanksgiving, so the recognition of that mitzvah of Akaras HaTov, which is embedded in the mitzvah of Kibud Av Eim, as so many of the Rishonim understand, and is meant to train us in a recognition of Hakara to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a crucial foundation of all of Yadus. That's how many of the Rishonim express themselves. So this week, when we have this opportunity to focus our attention on giving of thanks and Hakaras HaTov, and at this time when there's so much that is challenging, to be able to focus on that principle and to maintain our appreciation for the brachas that we have should be a source of continuing bracha for us in the future, and our ability to balance that and to be able to do what's necessary while also recognizing the need to keep that within a spirit of Hakaras HaTov and the proper balance and taking the steps that are necessary at the same time and not letting one impact the other, is that careful sensitivity that needs to be maintained, and our efforts towards that should also be a source of continuing merit for us.